Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is means nothing.
And Reggie Adatula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
I'm working on myself because eventually I won't be salty about that. Hasn't happened yet.
You still mad about that?
Not on, mad. Man. I wouldn't say I'm mad. Like, I get it. But also, I like internally shake my head at myself. Like, how did you end up in that place? 713-572.
We all do it, man. Don't feel bad, man.
Is the number to text. Get involved with the program. Appreciate you doing that, including Ocho, who did that and said, if you're not talking about Kentucky versus Florida from Saturday being the best basketball game in a long time, you haven't really watched the best basketball game.
Look at Ocho and the Sticks,
dude. 108-100, I think it was. It was a hell of a game.
That's you was on that.
I was on it after the fact, as it was happening, and people were like, "This is insane."
Oh, you got the alert. You were on Twitter or what have you, or X.
I was actually watching A&M in Texas. It was going on the same time or right before
college basketball.
Look at you, yeah.
Hey man, I watched the A&M Oklahoma last night.
A&M basketball game.
That's right.
Yeah, you guys know that.
I mean, it's basketball season now. After college football. Didn't go the way you wanted. All right. I think that it. No, Ocho, just to answer your question, I'm not talking about Kentucky versus Florida from Saturday. I missed that one. Unfortunately, I was out and about doing things. However, mm-hmm. I was seated on my couch in the living room watching Cavs Thunder last night. NBA basketball in January. Yay, hooray. But like, I know that sounds wild, but this is a pair of teams that had lost a total of 9 games thus far mm-hmm. in the season. Like, this was a huge matchup coming in, and neither of them had lost to the opposing conference to that point. Both of them came in with huge winning streaks. The Thunder came in with a 15-game winning streak. The Cavs came in with an 11 or 10-game mm-hmm. winning streak, and this game was incredible.
High Hoops. Level basketball, especially in the second half, especially the third quarter, back and forth, terrific. And I say that, you know, this had the feel of something like postseason-ish. Because generally speaking, yeah. Are you going to check into how many games that don't involve your team? But you had to because you saw.
Yeah, I'm not the person to ask because I.
Well, you check in on everything.
That's right.
But you know, Figgy, you were talking about this. Like, oh, I got to see that. What, yeah. Cavaliers in Oklahoma City? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, two of the best teams in the league, man.
Quite literally. And they gave that. Like, these are two incredible defenses as well. And you know what the final score was? 129-122. And I know there's people that'll be like, oh, they're not playing defense. No, this spoke to just how good these teams were offensively. I know someone texted in and said, oh, basketball sucks and blah, blah, blah. All these skinny little bleeps with their mouthpiece hanging out and stuff. You need to play bully ball. There was a good amount of that, too. There was dudes getting big. Evan Mobley was getting into the paint. Isaiah Hartenstein had a lot of floaters in the painted
area. It was a good game for the big men.
Yes.
Like the big centers, the old school centers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good game for them, man.
Yeah, man. Like, you saw teams breaking down zone defense. You like all if you are a like basketball nerd, you got so much out of this one. If you just like basketball in general, I thought this was a really good game. The shot making was really good. The decision making, the passing, the moving. And one of the things that was also really cool about this game is, again, like, this was not a game built off of the marquees of market, because we're talking about Oklahoma City and we're talking about Thunder. Mm-hmm. All right, and Cleveland, goodness. But it also wasn't necessarily built off of like superstars, which I think is where the NBA has kind of been. Like, the biggest player in this is Shea, who, I mean, he's probably in the lead for MVP, but like he also does not smack of that same
thing. Not that superstar. Mm-hmm. He's not like that box office superstar. He's really good. MVP like, but not 100%. That box office.
But then, like, these are two teams that also, the way that they were built, right? Speaking of superstars, like, these weren't teams that were cobbled together with trading a whole bunch of, like, you know, assets to put stars together. These were teams that were built organically. And I in thinking about that, we were talking about, or we were, you know, prepping earlier, and I saw First Take ask the question, well, what does it mean if the Cavaliers win a championship without LeBron? I rolled my eyes, but I thought about it for a second. I was like, well, if these Cavaliers win the championship, I do think that helps people contextualize the NBA a little differently right now, and probably points to something that I think that Raphael Stone and the Rockets have kind of settled in on, which is this is the way that you build these teams, man. This is the way that you find your way to the championship is getting good, young, talented team players and letting them kind of build and develop together, even through some times where it feels like you might be hitting a wall.
Yeah, that's why we're here, you know, because, again, it's one thing to mention, oh, what a great game in passing. But I think it's relevant for Houston and it's relevant for the NBA. Like, this was on stage, center stage, how you do it now in the NBA. This is how you become a contending team now. Like the era of the super teams, there's still going to be some people trying to, you know, go here or there.
What up, Suns?
Exactly. That's a great example.
Lakers.
That's another great example. Like, this is how you do it. This is how you build a team. And the Rockets are, in fact, doing that themselves. And that's why I think it's relevant for our listeners.
Yeah, and the Oklahoma City Thunder are the team that has been really easy recently to kind of compare the Rockets' current path to, like, hey, that's a team that's a few years ahead on a similar development path, right? The Thunder accumulating a whole bunch of assets, drafting, development.
And they've been doing it for years.
They have since
the beginning.
I think the Cavs are another different kind
they've
look
done
at
it
this as well.
Since LeBron left?
Yeah.
And especially the comparison that came to mind for me was just there was a point in time just last year, right, when they're in the playoffs, they look like a good team, but you're like, I don't think they're a great team. And there's a lot of conversations with pundits and stuff where it's like, hey, you're going to have to split up who you have there. You don't have enough offense, right? You've got a great defense, but you don't have enough offense. It can't necessarily work with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen as your two bigs who also like don't score. And they looked at each other and they were like, no, what we have here is a lot of young, talented dudes that can still develop their ways into this working together. And you've seen Evan Mobley raise his game where it felt like last year you thought, hey, man, this represents a wall that they have hit that they're not going to be able to traverse.
Yeah.
Evan Mobley's game is raised. Darius Garland has become even better and raised his game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I think that could be an interesting counterpart to where the Rockets are, where I know that even I've been pretty antsy at like, hey, maybe there's moves to be made around the perimeters to make this better. Seeing that game gave me a little bit more solace and a little bit more conviction in what the Rockets are doing in that, hey, stick with your guns and ride what you're doing out. You have a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Trust your team to develop into that place where then they can step into that realm and, you know, maybe take their knocks in the playoffs or whatever, but develop their way up there as opposed to like going and just siphoning talent elsewhere.
And I think it's good for the league. I think the bigger picture, it's good for the league because fans and everybody talking about NBA ratings, this and that. I get it. You know, it's going to take a lot to bring back the NBA to the highest levels again from a macro perspective. But nowadays, you can identify with players that are going to be there next year. And the year after that. And the year after that.
And these players on both of these teams been there for like 3 or 4 years.
Like the NBA was very
much
new. Right. It was very much, it lost ground because players were all over the place and super teams and players were chasing money, which obviously, you know, who doesn't want to do that? But now you can develop guys and you can identify with your team and you always know that you're going to have your guys for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's good for the league.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, like I said, I'm interested in like the larger, as you mentioned, macro perspective of what this game, and it's one game, right? How much can it actually mean? But like what the upward trajectory of these two teams can kind of mean for the league generally. I think you can get back to some of that feel as we're losing in various different sports, that year to year continuity. Yeah. But also, yeah, man, I'm interested in what this says for, hey, continue to see where Jalen Green continues to develop to. I mean, hell, since over the last, month or so, consistency is still always a question, but you've seen some high highs recently. I mean, hell, we just came off a game a couple of days ago where it seemed like he was dealing with an injury, started slow, and just came on when you needed him, right? That's one of the things about Jalen Green. Said, hey, when you need him, will he show up? You add one more into the bucket there. Consistency, again, continues to be the issue. But can you find something there? We're talking about various other players and their development. We see Amen stepping into the starting role and being incredible. There's still apparently more development there and more to bring out of that. Like it gave me so much confidence in this Rockets team, who is, again, kind of contending ahead of schedule. Here?
Well, doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Compared to these teams, that we saw last night. And then that's not to preclude, going out and getting that one piece that can maybe, put you over the top, Donovan Mitchell, something like that.
100%.
Where you can still develop, you can have that identity, and then you bring in that one guy. And that's what we've been talking about with the Rockets.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I enjoyed that game first and foremost, but secondly, it got me thinking. It got me, back to the place where I'm renewing my confidence in the Rockets' game plan or development plan here. Even as we're looking at, Cam Whitmore maybe having a little bit of friction at times, and even as you're looking at, hey, maybe Tari Eason dealing with some, I don't know, injuries.
What is he dealing with?
Injuries, but then I also apparently an illness that's kind of kept him out and will keep him out again tonight as they face off against the Grizzlies in Memphis. But, man, I love where this Rockets team is.
Do you feel like they need to make a big trade now, get that big superstar now?
I think they
do have all these picks.
Not right in this moment, but I think that it gives them more leeway to wait for the right one, right? This ain't Daryl Morey's team where the first star that pops up, you go and get them.
Yes.
I think that this is fully Rafael Stone's team where now you can wait for the right dude who fits and really elevates, especially with this new.
And it may not be this year.
That is absolutely the case.
Again, look at the Cavs.
In fact, look
at Oklahoma City.
It's probably likely not this year unless you have a very particular thing, which I'm believing to be the Suns falling apart. And if you could pick that, whether it's probably Devin Booker is the one that I feel most comfortable. There's kind of been talk about Kevin Durant. That would be a really shorter, that was going to be a much shorter kind of hey, we're contending right this moment for the next couple of years. But yeah, it would have to be the perfect situation as opposed to just, hey, we need to get somebody in here.
All
right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're at the time where let's get to our question of the day. We started talking a little bit about those office phrases, but just open this up. What cliche or phrase just drives you up a wall? 713-572-4610. We'll execute that next.
Fun event, man. Coming up right here in Houston at NRG. It's the Houston Auto Show, Houston Automotive Show, as they talk about, and it's going to be big time for you because you're going to be able to see all the greatest, the latest deals and vehicles that are out there. And it's January 29th to February 2nd, so you're going to be able to pick your day to get out there, and all you have to do is go to HoustonAutoShow.com. There's going to be boats there as well. It's just a cool event, events for kids, vehicles on display, all kinds of attractions as well. And you're going to be able to maybe even ride that Jeep. They have that big hill that they built in there. That's going to be a lot of fun. Just go to HoustonAutoShow.com. They're going to have appearances, celebrities, and maybe your next ride, whether it's on the water or on the pavement. HoustonAutoShow.com.